30, closed the Archdiocese of Detroit, now one of the largest dioceses in the country. Our faith determines our stability as Catholics. I have to say this. There are sadly bishops of the United States, priests, who do not hold to the Catholic faith with infallible certitude. There are parishes, I'd rather die than have to say this. There are parishes in the United States whose pastors are not firm believers in the Catholic faith. Our faith must be firm. Our faith must be stable. Our faith must be constant. Firmness, stability, and constancy. I've said this before by implication. I'll go back to it again. In God's name, make an examination of conscience of the reading you are doing. Our secular papers are not newspapers of the Catholic faith. Most of our magazines are not written, what a safe statement, by strong believing Catholics. And I'm speaking of the right city. Widespread doubt among many priests about God's commandment to observe the sixth commandment. I'm not telling you to read it, but there is a weekly publication, many pages long, newspaper, published by the homosexuals here in Chicago. You don't have to read the official homosexual paper to see, page after page, chastity ridiculed as though only ignoramuses practice chastity. We alone. Our faith is the free, voluntary exercise of our mind, and our mind believing is our free will. We must distinguish between the freedom. Freedom which I have in my notes, which is previous to faith, only antecedent to faith, and the faith that we profess when we believe. Antecedent freedom, as I call it, is the freedom to use our mind to examine and admit the truth of our faith. God exists. We believe it. God is all wise and all good. We believe it. However, in the act of faith, the will must have its own carefully thought through nature. We believe only because, with God's grace, we want to believe. As you know, the United States is an average of 5 million Americans going to college every year. All my teaching, except for my ordination, has been on the college and graduate level. And there's a real risk. The more educated we are, the more liable we become to question what we believe. Our faith is indeed the free exercise of our wills, telling the mind to believe. But then, I've been telling people, how much do you know? I tell you, I've gone to graduate school. I know a good deal. But I ask them, how much do you know which you fully understand? They tell me they fully understand everything. I don't tell them, but I think they are crazy. Only an insane person would claim he understands anything fully. Our faith, we repeat, is a free act of the will. Now to get someone more practical. Our wills are very important here to maintain our faith and to grow in it. We must use our wills to not, I would add, unnecessarily read what is contrary to the faith. As I was preparing to teach theology, I had to read one heretic after another. One I remember, I used to pray every time I pick up one of his books. For John Calvin, a very intelligent apostate. In other words, we must decide, and I pray during the retreat, ask yourself, what kind of reading are you doing? If the reading is antithetical to what you believe, ask your faith in God's name. Don't read it unless you would have to refute the error. Then you better be able to refute the error. Hear it. Heresy is intelligence. Heresy is well educated. Heresy is smart. In our newspapers and public magazines are filled, covered with beautiful pictures, written in the most plain, an attractive language. much of our writing in the United States is, I have to use the word, heretical. You want to keep your faith free so that you will believe and continue believing. You must watch what you read. Who are your friends? Do they believe? Or do there be objections to your virtue of faith? And then may you wonder or question what you believe. Our faith is, have you been saying, supernatural. Is especially supernatural in that many of the things that we believe are sheer mysteries revealed by God. There is no way any sane human being can understand the Incarnation. Can understand Christ's divinity. To come down to earth. Can understand the real presence. One of my students in theology was a man from Portugal. Real bright. I had doubts whether he really believed everything the Catholic Church teaches. I spent hours talking with him. Then I engaged in conversation with some of my fellow professors. Should we ordain this man? We decided to ordain him. Spent another year in the United States and back to Portugal. Within a year of going back to Portugal, gave up the Catholic faith. To believe, we must be very, very humble in mind. Only humble people believe. Because to believe, you must accept on God's word what you cannot, I won't even say fully, understand. Lord Jesus, we believe, but we beg you to strengthen our faith, because the America in which we live is, shall I say it, an ex-Christian country. We must be a match for the intellectuals who do not believe. Dear Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Copies of this talk are available from the Institute on Religious Life, P.O. Box 41007, Chicago, Illinois, 60641, or phone 773-267-1195.